Hey, welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. This is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. And I'm going to be taking a little bit of a break from the show. I'm not sure exactly when, but it's going to be sometime very, very soon. I've been really busy with work and other things, and I'm going to be keeping the YouTube channel, though, youtube.com/spiritual show. But I would love to hear from you if you have ideas on where you would like to see the show go in the future. So email me spiritualshow@gmail.com or go to my website spiritualshow.com and sign up for the mailing list so you can find out what's going on with the show. Thank you for being a listener all these years. Hi, and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are joined by New York Times bestselling author Robin Spiesman. She is the author of the book we're talking about today, Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you so much, Marie. I'm so pleased to be on it.
Thank you for being with us today. Now, it seems like reading your book, you actually already had a background of loving out loud. First of all, how about you share with us what it means to love out loud? What is this book even about?
Well, this book really, I like to say it wrote me, because it's one of those things where it became an awareness of how I was loved my entire life as a child growing up. I was very fortunate to have two very loving parents, and they really expressed love. I knew they loved me. The words were there, the thoughts, the feelings. And as they aged and got very ill at the end of their lives, and both of my parents passed away within a year of each other, the grief was unbelievable. And at my mother's eulogy at her funeral, I said, if Phyllis and Jack Friedman loved you, you were loved out loud. And it became an awareness that what that meant was that they loved. If you were a stranger and you came into their path, they loved you out loud. If you were a cause that needed help and needed support and guidance and leadership, they loved you out loud. It wasn't just love in the sense of romance. It was love as a action, something that when somebody really notices what needs to be done or said or shared, you rise to the occasion and you do it. And so that was really what Love Out Loud became. For me, it was an awareness of this communication that went a little deeper than emoticons and emojis. And it was thoughtful emoting, letting people know how you feel, because those thoughts can be replayed. A smiley face can't be so easily replayed in your mind, but you know what? I thought of you today, Can. What a wonderful job you're doing, Marie, sharing love with your listeners and viewers. And I think that the words we empower each other, our thoughts, it's what you really want to be aware of, is never to resist those feelings. Because when we share them, they materialize fabulous things and create a ripple out in the universe.
Thank you so much, Robin. Now, we hear a lot about how people these days are feeling less and less connected. So maybe we can talk a little bit about, I mean, your book, Loving Out Loud, is filled with ideas on really how to practice this. But let's talk about some of the benefits. Why should people even bother? I mean, it takes effort to love out loud, right? Why should
it
we bother?
Does. But you broke it down to the word connecting and creating a connection between, you know, us, our thoughts, our feelings, and the world around us is extremely important. And here's why. When we feel isolated, alone with negative thoughts, you know, they become very powerful motivators, sometimes to create fear, anxiety, stress. And yet when we have a positive thought and we believe it and we repeat it to ourselves, life gets a little brighter. So what I love to think about is whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, whether this is hard for you. This might be saying a positive word while you feel it and you believe you're a very kind, nice person, it might be very hard for you to emote. Some individuals feel a little awkward. They might feel self-conscious. They might even feel silly. But what happens is when you share a little attention, I call it paying a little attention, not necessarily a compliment, not necessarily, an awkward statement, but you share your attention with someone and you pay attention and then you share it. It starts to open up an awareness that when we notice each other, amazing things happen. We make new friends. We become someone people enjoy being around and look forward to seeing. When we use our smile as a window to our soul, things start to change and you attract who you are. You start to attract the power of this amazing ability to let others know what you're thinking. So if I think, you have such a nice smile, Murray, and you look great today. And I love your blinged out little shirt that says love. And I'm all about that. And I think it's just really fabulous because you're wearing your emotions on your sleeve, so to speak, right? But I think when we let love out of ourselves and we start making it more of an action, we recognize that we get so much more out of it than we even give when we say something kind to someone and notice them. So it is creating a connection, but I don't know. I think it's a rainbow connection. You know, I think that life just gets brighter when we connect like-mindedness with common causes, volunteering, a love of pets, a love of gardening, music, singing, sharing something. As my husband calls it, it's like having four eyes, seeing it through four eyes, not just two. And it's a wonderful thing.
So speaking of your husband, Robin, he has some special ways that he loves you out loud. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this is pretty powerful stuff because I'm a gift giving expert. I report Marie on the best gifts, the coolest things to buy and gift and give. And we all love something material, jewelry, the bling, and what I really realized was it was our first Valentine's Day. And I thought, wow, this is a very important thing. Do I ask for, a watch, a piece of jewelry, whatever? And I thought, I said, you know what, sweetheart? And I said to him, I would love if every morning when we wake up, you just say something, makes my day, put a smile on my face, makes me feel special, loved. And you figure that out with me. So he came up with the idea and he said, what about good morning, beautiful? And I was like, perfect. That's awesome. Because he's a man of a few words, very thoughtful and very, very bright, man of a few words. So I realized you can't snap your fingers and someone love you out loud. So every morning he's saying, good morning, beautiful. And then there's post-it notes. There's one on my desk right now, GMB, good morning, beautiful. If he forgets, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, oh, good morning, beautiful. And it started really, I think, creating a dialogue where he started to understand this language called loving out loud that I needed. And I gave myself permission to ask for the kind of love that I wanted more of to create. It also reminded me when I hear good morning, beautiful, how am I responding to him? How's his day going? Hey, handsome, lover boy, how you doing today? Just the idea that love is a two-way street, the love of friends, the love of family, and it's really being interested, not just interesting. So I have my husband to thank for really this book in a big way and my parents' memory. When I started loving out loud in their memory and their honor, I found I was able to live their actions, what they would want me to be doing right now. I felt closer. It was healing.
Thanks, Robin. I have a couple questions about that. I want to ask more about the gifts, but you mentioned that your husband is a man of few words. Now, I know that a lot of people, if we're not getting the kind of love that we want, the first thing we do is focus on the problem. oh, he's not expressive, he's not emotive, he doesn't share his feelings. So I love how you asked for specifically for what you needed, and it was something that was manageable for him. So can we talk a little bit about that?
That's absolutely one of the best questions. Thank you for asking. Number one, you can't make someone love you out loud. And we all love to hear praise and positive feelings and be noticed if we do something. We want to be appreciated. But if you're righteous and holier than thou and you expect everyone to rise to your level of your ability to express yourself, because you might be great at it, but so why isn't everyone else, you know? That doesn't work. So the first thing I've started to learn, and believe me, this is decades, decades of learning. This wasn't like, you know, kind of an overnight thought. This was when I really realized that when I slowed down and I stopped hurrying, I was a more thoughtful listener. I made someone feel present, validated. And in my husband's case, instead of responding with one of these knee-jerk responses that we all do, you know, someone says something and then it didn't go exactly the way you planned. And I started realizing I have to go first. I have to be the one. This is something I can only control, Robin. Robin, you know, it's me, myself, and I. So I noticed that instead of being busy or hurried or not available, I slowed down and started thinking about how do I sound to the rest of the world? How do I sound to my husband? And those are the moments that started to bring an awareness of how I also wanted to be treated with the same kindness, with the same thoughtfulness. And when my husband read the book, this was an amazing opportunity for me, he said, "Wow, this sounds just like you." I said, "Well, okay, that might be good, right?" And well, maybe. And then he said, "No, this seems so reasonable. This is just this loving out loud thing. It is just so we should all be doing. It's just considerate, being considerate." Okay. So Marie, isn't that what love is? It's being considerate of someone else's needs and feelings, regardless of whether you're an introvert or an extrovert.
Mm. Beautifully said, Robin. And I love that your husband said that it sounded like you, because sometimes the work that we do out in the world and the way that we present ourselves is kind of the way we would like to be. It's not always the way we really are. So it's nice to get that feedback. I can imagine that it is in line with what he sees of you. I'm sure most of the time we all have our moments, but that must have been really nice feedback to get.
It was a wonderful thing. And it was like, If I live on the side of kindness, what's the worst thing that can happen? Okay, so let's say someone says, "Oh, she's too nice. She's Pollyanna. She has rose-colored glasses." No, I really believe that when we are kind, we set an example for ourselves. So it's the best part of ourselves. Why do we keep it inside? Why? What is the purpose of inappropriate sarcasm or making a comment that wasn't nice? Like we might have a thought, but if you really sit with your thought and listen to it, how would you feel if it was said about you? And in Raising Kinder Children, Loving Out Loud, the chapter on raising kinder children is one of the most significant pieces that I've really explored and written, because being a kinder finder and making kindness fun for kids is something that is possible. And there's dozens of ideas that really work with kids who are not getting along. Maybe they're bullying, maybe they're not exactly making friends. Well, there's generally a reason. And when they learn people pleasing behaviors, not for the sake of just getting something in return, but it's because it's the right thing to do, we really can teach the next generation how to better get along with each other and express feelings. It's a big deal.
Thanks, Robin. And you mentioned the chapter on kids, and in that chapter you talk about setting an example, and it seems like you are setting an example with your husband and with your children and the people who
meet you out in the world, when you are expressing your love out loud, it gives permission for other people. It makes that more of a safe space to be able to express that as well, right?
That's the goal. And it's not just, you know, I thought before that, you know, being a role model, it's wonderful. It's great. But if nobody follows you, then what are you, well, what's the purpose? So it's not even about, it's not just about the role model. It's about modeling kindness out loud, modeling thoughtfulness out loud, your kind voice, a gentle voice. If you're always saying, hurry up, we've got to go, we're late, we're this, we're that, you know, we'll be, that creates an environment. So the first thing I'd say to everyone is how about listening to yourself? Just take 24 hours and listen to yourself. And when you're positive, give yourself a thumbs up, like be aware of it. And when you're negative, you really did say that and everyone really hears you. And so often we just say things out loud because we think them, we feel them, we say them, but it sends out a message about how we're feeling to everyone and they hear us. And I often don't realize how negative we can be just by thinking that's my truth. I'm telling you the truth. Well, think about how you sound to everyone around you and be intentional with sharing words. And decide how many words are taking up too much space that are negative, and how many positive words are you putting out there? So it's a book that really addresses the how-to, how to have a date with a family member and really bond and get to know them, pay attention, and ask yourself, if you love that cousin so much, do you know the name of her dog? Do you know what her birthday is? Do you know when the anniversary it is? And starting to really be mindful of things that are part of that individual's life that you might pay attention to year round, not just today or on a special occasion.
Thanks, Robin. Right now, we are speaking with Robin Spiesman. She is the author of Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. And it's not just about kind words. It's kind actions as well. So being present, being mindful. You mentioned being an expert on gifts. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. For 35 years, I've been a leading gift-giving expert for really talking about products, which are tested, tasted. It's a wonderful, it's been a wonderful career. I started in Atlanta, Georgia. And as I reported on products, I cared greatly about, you know, products that pleased someone because you paid attention to their likes and dislikes. So when you bought a gift for them, then it wasn't just because you loved it. It was because it reflected what they were interested in. And I think Loving Out Loud, this book really understands what a real gift is. And at the end of the day, while we might have an heirloom we treasure because it was a loved one's, or we might have something that we were given and it reminds me of the person who gave it, the reality is we're going to really remember most how we loved in this world, how we listened in this world, how we sat with someone going through a hard time, how we did not bolt when times got tough with a friend, and we stuck it out with them to better understand how to be the best possible friend while they went through an illness or even a tragedy. And I think that if life has no regrets, it's because we're basically, it's not in it to win it, but we're in it to live it. And this book talks about making a loving versus a living. Individuals who are very successful, at peace with what they do, and they love it, they're making a loving. And I think Loving Out Loud presents the some of the most brilliant individuals and thoughtful people doing really remarkable things for birthdays, anniversaries, and they go far beyond a gift. And somehow those gifts become timeless treasures, keepsakes, memories, They become things that are items that bring you joy. You know, we have too many things in this world. We have so much stuff. So I really like that we put an intention into something when we gift it and really look at, does this person need this? You know, what will they do with it? Will they love it? Was it on top of their list? And instead of judging it, just really listen to each other. One thing I can share, if it's okay, Marie, is kind of an assignment, a loving out loud assignment.
Okay.
Which is, you have a to-do list, right? Let's see. Here's my to-do list. It's right here. I have this long list, right, of all the things that I need to do. And when I approach a to-do list, I check off the things that I've done. I race through it. I want to get to the end. So one of the things that I started doing, and I talk about it in Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word, is I have a to-love list. The to-do list now is a little bit shifted to a to-love list. And on that list are things that I love to do, that things that bring me joy, someone that I need to call because I am thinking of them. They just had shoulder surgery. My friend Stevie, she's on my to-love list. And I asked myself, did I express my thoughts to Stevie as she recuperates on my to-love list? And those details bring so much joy to me. I feel I actually get more time back. I get a sense of well-being that I am thoughtful, thinking of someone else who might need cheering up today, might need a listening ear today. And I think the love list, along with many ideas in the book, are simple. But my goal is to shift the way we move through life. Slow down. Take a deep breath. I literally called a 1-800 number. I had to give my name and number and information. It was an alumni association call where they update the alums. I started talking to the woman on the phone. She was so delightful. You know, it's like normally you'd race off. I don't know this person. When we were done, it was unbelievable how much she taught me about when individuals she calls, because she has a job. She was a flight attendant. She was a very bright woman. And she said she calls and people just hang up on her. And it's like, but yesterday, a really nice man who was in the service, a veteran, told her a little story when he gave her his information. And she said, it was so beautiful. He was so respectful and so kind. He made my day. I've thought about that call for hours. Every time someone hangs up, I know maybe I'll get someone just like him. So I'm not saying to talk to every robocaller. No. I'm talking about thinking through how you affect another person. Stranger, family member, a friend, and how do you move through your day? Do you get joy or are you just checking off the things on the to-do list? So that's a big awareness as we start to love out loud, is to reposition our thoughts just a little bit.
Thanks, Robin. And I liked what you said about how it actually almost creates a sense of more time for you, because that's one of the things that I notice is that I'm always going from one task to the next. So if I see my neighbors, when I leave my house, I'm on my way somewhere and I've timed it where I have to leave now. So if I see them and they want to chat, I actually notice myself feeling irritated because now I'm going to be late. So it's almost that leaving space for those types of interactions, because the rushing through my day isn't giving me any pleasure and I'm missing those moments, those opportunities to connect, which actually would make my day better, probably would make me healthier, lower my blood pressure, those sorts of things. So how do you suggest people weave time in if they're like me and they just go, 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 go?
I love that question, because I think, Marie, first, the awareness. You can't weave, you can't knit, you can't do it, you can't paint, you can't sing without an awareness of what type of music do I love? What makes my heart dance and sing and smile? So if we're going to start loving out loud, making the difference, if we're going to start making that shift and that awareness, I'm going to ask you a question. Let me go back to you for just 1 minute. What is one thing Marie did today that brought you joy? Something today, earlier today, or maybe yesterday. You can choose either.
Okay. It's hard. I've been really burned out lately, actually. So I've been struggling to find joy.
But that's honest. Okay, so thank you for sharing that. Let's sit with that for a minute. We're talking about loving out loud, and it's not just all like, you know, roses, and we all have challenges. But what I think loving out loud does is, now I'm going to ask you to kind of put the loving out loud on some self-care. Because self-care is something we don't give ourselves a lot of permission to do. We rush. We don't feed ourselves well. Sometimes we don't nourish ourselves. Sometimes we indulge in repetitive habits that are very destructive, and then we feel worse. Very hard to change those habits. So the first thing I want to do is to start small. I want you to think about, in your lifetime, what's something that brings you joy? A hobby or a moment? Tell me something that brought you joy, like you could sit down and do it again and be in that moment again, you would do it. What would that be like?
I love visiting with dogs on the street, okay, or cat neighborhood cats.
Okay. I don't know why I felt that, but you know, this is what I do. So that's why this whole show, everybody's listening to you and me speak. And we basically know that times can be hard sometimes. And you get this beautiful joy and a sense of love and from a pet. And you can express your love. A lot of people can express love to pets better than people, right? I mean, it's true. It's like unbelievable. Or a baby or a cat. I want you to then think about, well, when's the last time you really played with some puppies? You visited. You won't believe the story I'm about to tell you, but for one of my birthdays, my daughter arranged a visit to a Dalmatian farm.
Oh my God.
I'm like this big Dalmatian lover. So I was brought there, and I got out, and those dogs are flying everywhere. It kind of talked me out of wanting one for the moment, but you know, but I loved them. I was on the ground, like crying, like playing with these puppies, and the joy, hysterical laughing, crying. These dogs are just everywhere. They're jumping. They're, you know, like it was just insane. But that moment has stayed with me for years because it was a remarkable reminder of my childhood with my Dalmatians as a little girl, Pokey, Smokey, you know. So I want you to think about, as you look for things that bring you joy, those messages are amazing. The messages, those messages of where time stands still, we must create those. So Marie, on your to love list would be visit a friend who has a dog, ask if you can walk it, go on a walk with them, adopt a pet. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, but it's watching the my husband, brilliant man. He watches a puppy channel of the puppies playing because he just loves puppies like no one on earth. He gets so much joy from what. So what I want to encourage you to do is to surround yourself. Doesn't mean you have to own it, but surround yourself with the joy, because what you've done is postponed it. The cats, you've postponed this joyful feeling. And even online, you can watch adorable puppies that, I mean, anybody's going to feel good looking at these. Maybe every day you give yourself a minute or two of puppy time, seriously, and put your mind in that moment where I go back to the Dalmatians and, you know, the love of all those spotted, you know, wild dogs. And I go to a park, and when I walk around the park, I look for the Dalmatians, because every once in a blue moon, there's one there. And then, of course, I greet it like we're, you know, best friends from every, you know. And I mean, it's not that I'm stalking these dogs, it's that I am the happiest person in the world to see them. Where are dogs? They're at parks. Where are parks? Those are places where we walk around and ask a friend to go with us. And so everybody knows, no matter where I am in the world, if there's a Dalmatian, look out. So you see what I'm saying? Please connect again. But I hear what you're saying. You were burned out. So that, we have to give ourselves a day off. Have you had a day off, Marie?
I've had days off. So I work in a psychiatric unit. So it starts to feel really draining.
And no one can fault you for how you're feeling, because the situation you're in, it's like I say, a lot of things a book can't solve. There are problems that require professionals, and you're a professional. But you have to be your own best student. Mm-hmm. It's like I wrote this book, Loving Out Loud, so that I would walk out my door or stay at home, wherever I was, and I would recognize the power of love, the power of loving oneself enough to know that I needed a good night's sleep. I needed a day off. I needed time out. I needed time with a certain friend that needed time. And I kept, and we feel bad because we add all these messages up and then we just feel like we don't have any time. We're never, ever, you know, we're depleted actually. So anyone watching us that feels burned out, stop. And like you said, you feel like a broken record. Well, then you don't have to be a broken record anymore, because you have a choice. You have a choice to decide, how can I bring back the best me in these circumstances? That does not mean quit a job. It doesn't mean go in and then be, you know, in charge of the Sunshine Committee. It just means, how do you bring yourself to work, love what you do, and make a difference and feel like each day the dial moves just a little, mm-hmm. you know, things get better. Sometimes that means changing jobs. Sometimes that means asking for help. So I think I want to move into that question. If your friend said to you, Marie, how may I help you? And you might say to the person, just listen. I don't really need any. I know the answers. Just listen to me. Let me go wild for a minute. Let me just, you know, share the reality. And then tell me it's going to be okay. You realize sometimes that's all we need from a friend. It's like, just tell me. So I have a friend, and I call her kind of the this too shall pass friend. She doesn't join the drama. She doesn't get involved if there's not a good day. You know what I'm saying, with something. But she does say, this too shall pass. I promise tomorrow's a new day, and you're going to go be fabulous. And you'll see a little spark. Something that just reminds you everything's going to be okay. And we need to hear that. And if you, Marie, maybe someone at work, you know, you just say to them, could I borrow your ear for a minute? I'm having a hard day. Do you have any suggestions? I feel like a broken record. How could we team up and maybe change this? What could we do? Could we add music? Could we add music, the most powerful motivator for healing? Could we think about that and ask for some help and look into music and how does music calm the mind? Because it affects everyone. And if you're in an elevator and there's no music, you kind of know that someone is trapped in their own mind. I have no advice that it's not my qualification. But what I do believe is that there are ways experts like yourself can brighten a world that might be very challenging. Mm-hmm. But I want you to think about asking for help.
Thanks, Robin.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop. Thank you.
The Study and Go Abroad Fair is back in town on Sunday, September 29th at the Vancouver Convention Center, East Building. Meet face-to-face with top universities from around the world. Learn about degrees in law, medicine, health sciences, arts, technology, pharmacy, business, hotel management, and much more. Check out the Travel Zone for internships, language travel, and work abroad. For more info, visit www.studyandgoabroad.com. Admission is free.
From September 26th to October 11th is the Vancouver International Film Festival. VIFF presents the world's best cinema fused with related talks and events in a unique Films Plus model. Annually, VIFF presents over 320 films and events, plays host to approximately 400 industry professionals from around the globe, and boasts the largest Canadian film program in the world. Tickets are on sale now. Go to VIFF.org or the Van City Theatre box office to purchase yours today.
We are speaking right now with Robin Spiesman. She's the author of Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. And actually, Robin, you share so many tips and ideas. And I don't remember if this was in the kids section or not, but there was the better letter. That was for kids. And it, I don't know if it was that or something else, but I wrote down the idea of awards. So every week at my work, we have a community meeting and we ask everyone, oh, are there anyone that you'd like to recognize? And for the most part, it usually just kind of passes by and nothing really happens. So Your book actually inspired me to start either finding a little ribbon or just printing out a certificate for 1 to 3 clients a week that we can actually formally recognize for implementing a goal or improving in some way, and then publicly appreciate them to give awards and even to other coworkers, right?
Love it. Okay, first of all, Marie, double thumbs up. You are so open. Your heart is so open to make something better. And when we acknowledge people, it feels wonderful. And so I am so grateful that if my book, if Loving Out Loud, and you know, it's like if Loving Out Loud can do that, imagine what it can do around the world, which is where it's going. It's this crazy phenomenon, and people are starting to realize what that means. So you going into work, using your attention to point out something positive you want to see more of, that's how behavior is impacted. It's the same with children. If you only focus on what they do wrong, you'll get more of it. Focus on what they do right. And last night, my two little granddaughters were at dinner with us, and one now is getting, you know, S's instead of N's, which is a good thing. The S's are a good thing. She's 5. And the other one's getting the superstars and she's 7. And they couldn't wait to tell us. Like, it was so exciting. It's the same feeling. So here's a couple of thoughts. You are on the right track. You're going to try something loving. I mean, it's kind. Oh my gosh, I think you're amazing. But the idea gives you strength. Look at that. When we love out loud, in spite of, look at your situation, it's major challenging. And in spite of that, you still wish to love out loud. That is, you know, the unsung hero. That is the work of a hero. You are doing it because you're not depriving them of being noticed and recognized, because 9 out of 10 moments are very trying. So notice what you believe is positive. And it takes time, but if they have the best smile today, right? World's best smile, world's biggest smile. You know, everybody's gonna wanna win that award. And what, I mean, you know, and a 100-watt smile, you know, an electric smile that like It goes from one ear to the other. Who in the room can make the biggest smile? Okay, let's give it a shot. Ah, and everybody, can you talk when you say hello and smile at the same time? It's like a, I can only see you doing, you're very mild-mannered and lovely, and I can see you doing this because it takes so many muscles to frown. I'm not sure. I see children doing it. They fold their arms. You know, it's like this look, and I'm like, that took a lot of energy to do that. But to smile, your whole face wakes up. But if you try, if you just work on the smile award, everyone in the group might actually earn that. It might be amazing. And I do these paper plate awards. I am absolutely obsessed with all these things because they work. So we have the paper plate awards. And so it doesn't matter where I am. I pull out a pen, I have a paper plate. You know, I can write it on a napkin. But if you sit in a chair at a restaurant and use nice hands and, you know, don't make a mess for the waitress to have to clean up, it makes our job so, takes so much time. So can we like try our best? And so the kids are like more aware instead of throwing stuff everywhere and littering. I don't know. I think you're on to something enormous. It's just everybody go into work and start give your boss an award for being, you know, kind. See what happens. Taking the time to answer a question. Coworker showing you where, you know, a project needs to head. It's teamwork makes the dream work, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, I love your idea. I think you're on to it.
Well, thank you for inspiring me with your book, Loving Out Loud, because I might not have thought of it otherwise. And so this week, I'm going to make it my job to notice things to recognize, to notice things to compliment clients and coworkers on.
Can I ask you a favor? Mm-hmm. Would you also include yourself? Because this idea is beautiful. Anyone watching you right now would say, Marie, you've just got this covered. You've got this. It's coming from a seasoned heart who cares. But you have to think your own internal thoughts, your own internal awards, if you will. It's affirming to know you're doing your best. And let's just say one person in this group responds. And every time they see you, you know, there's, you know, and you start, I don't know, I'm with my little 3-month-old granddaughter and I'm like, you know, I'm wild with the smiles and she smiled back at me today. And it was like, hey, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Aww. It's a 3-month-old smiling back at me and learning how to smile because she's looking at me. You're doing the same. We all need it. Smile at someone in an elevator. Watch what happens. They're sometimes not sure what to do. Then they smile back. Then they act like they didn't see you. Try it. It works.
Thanks, Robin. So we are speaking right now with Robin Spiesman. She's the author of Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. And what I'd love, we were talking earlier about gifts. And there's a story, Amy's holiday party story. Do you remember the specifics of this one?
I do.
Do you want to share that with us?
Sure. This is an amazing story. In fact, there's just dozens and dozens of stories. But Amy was watching the news and children were not getting a holiday party. And most mothers would have said, oh, that's so sad. Or, you know, I'm sorry to see that. But Amy's mother, Jackie, said, well, what are we going to do about it? Which was a call to action.
So this was a shelter or some kind of organization. They had gifts for kids at the holidays and they had been robbed.
And so it was gone. They were just not going to get any toys during the holidays. So the amazing thing was her mother said, what are we going to do about it? And I think that's where parents, we have an opportunity. Because we can talk about things and not take action, or we can ask a child to come up with a suggestion and then it's their own. And Amy came up with, you know, I want to do something about it. Well, now it's grown to this enormous holiday party every year. And thousands of teens have volunteered over time. and they've learned how to give back and get involved. And Amy's done this remarkable, remarkable mission. When my kids were young, I said to them, what are we going to do as a family to get involved? And I appointed my little three-year-old daughter, Allie, as the CEO of a thank you company. It was a pretend company. I was a working mom at home writing books. And I said to Allie, why don't you hire everybody when we're out and about? If someone's doing something super nice, kind, helping a person, has a kind voice, do you mind, Allie, hiring for our company? She said, sure, Mommy. We'd be out and she'd say to people, we'd be in the grocery line, you're hired for my thank you company. My name is Allie. They'd fall over. And then she got so good at it. I mean, she could even tell me if she was going to fire someone long before The Apprentice. So it was like she understood. And she started to exhibit more and more of these same behaviors. CEO, it was my caring executive officer. Aww. That's what she was. I made her a little desk out of a cardboard box. She had little notes and papers. And it was a really big deal. She'd draw little pictures and hand them out. She hired someone. That was her business card. So it was just, meet someone where they are at, a child, meet them where they are at, their age, their, because it's amazing what you can do as a grandparent. I have a I Love You library. The children to respect a book, take one off the shelf, you put it back before you take out another, instead of them being, you know, thrown all over the room. So the I Love You library, you may check a book out at our house, may read it, we'll read it, and we'll put it back in before we take another one. They need their friends. They need to be put back to sleep on the shelf. So I don't know. I just think as a former teacher, you make it creative, you make it fun, and kids really do learn quickly. I think it goes for all of us.
That I love the idea of the business cards, because there are some companies that make business cards online where you can have a series of your own pictures, and it's fairly inexpensive to get these printed up. You could get like 1,000 of them. And I just imagine handing out you're great, or thank you for the whatever, thank you for your help today, and just having 10 different cards that you pass out to people as like little thank yous.
Absolutely. And so those thank you cards is, you know, exactly what over time we did. And I really, you know, it's like, give this to your boss. You're doing a great job. Please hand it over. And then that person hands it to their boss because somebody praised them. What I found with Allie was a lot of people never receive praise on the job. And so that's another big awareness at your work. If you start noticing everyone there outside of just your clients as well, the people that might be in a lunchroom or might be the postman or the cafeteria, or everyone is very important. Their story is important. You can learn so much. And your favorite people in the world become these people on that to-do list when you shift it to the to-love list. They just, you know, I get my alterations down when I see Winnie. I go, I'm so happy to see Winnie because we got to know each other. And now I don't look at it as a errand I have to do and have to rush and get it back. I look at it as a chance to see Winnie, and then I get my alterations done. So we start shifting our relationships as every relationship. It's not that every relationship is more important than another. It's just that each relationship has some type of little treasure inside. Get to know somebody. You'll be so thrilled when you learn something about them by being interested in them.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Robin. Well, we have just a few minutes left in the show. And oh, I wanted to ask you about peace of mind guaranteed. Can you tell us more about that?
I have to tell you, that's one of the most amazing stories in this entire book. Peace of mind guaranteed. When I started out in the TV world many decades ago, an amazing woman named Spring Asher was my producer. And I went over to NBC and said, you know, I'm interested in being on air and I have some ideas for, you know, super moms and crafts that moms and kids can do. And they put me on air and she believed in me. And she started really teaching me, mentoring me. And to this day, it's now many, many, many years later. Every time I see her, I thank her for giving me my start. So I think that's number one. That was a big lesson. Well, her dad, I said to Spring, in fact, my friend Vicky, another amazing woman, said to me, you've got to talk to Spring, because Spring gives out these golden rulers with people's names on them, because her dad believed in the golden rule. And he made golden rulers as a businessman and gave them out.
Wow.
So the POMG is an amazing thing that he had a promise to every person that he did business with, because he had a jewelry store. And it was peace of mind guaranteed. And he gave that with every single solitary purchase. So he went from being what you might call a salesman to being a philanthropist of words and kindness and giving. He sent kids to the theater who otherwise couldn't afford tickets. He would, when he took out his advertising, he would feature someone perhaps who had passed away that deserved an honor, or someone doing something remarkable in the community. So everything was POMG. And to this day, I really believe that we all can maybe give a peace of mind guaranteed to each other by being loyal, accountable, kind, thoughtful. You know, that gives me a peace of mind when one of my friends has my back and they're thinking, you know, oh, I want to write a review on Amazon for Robin because she's got a new book. I mean, I have to tell you this, Marie, but my daughter, and this was so sweet, she can get as many books as she wants from mom, right? You know, she ordered my book because she said, Mom, I want you to know how important this book is to me. I'm ordering it, and I want you to sign it. And it was like, it was something that just touched me deeply, because she thought of what would be important to me. So what I hope is that individuals will read it. And Donna Markova, the PhD, who was the co-creator of Random Acts of Kindness, Marie, she wrote the foreword. This is my dream foreword. I've written many books for Donna to write it. And she named Loving Out Loud an act of kindness. Her foreword, after you read it, you'll never be the same. Because she wrote, it took me decades to learn that love is not a noun or an object. It's not a thing you have or can lose, a fixed state you are in or out of. Love is a verb, growing your ability to reach, speak, and act with love out loud will soften the numbness of your own heart and increase aliveness within and around you. And she named this book an act of kindness, said, read it, give it. That's what I hope will happen, that this book will be in your hands 1 minute, and in another person's, maybe a family member of one of your clients, the next, so that we all understand what we stand for. I stand for Loving Out Loud. I know you stand for love. You're wearing it. Look at you. It's like I fantastic.
I was like, what can I wear that will be good for this book today? And
yeah. It was so thoughtful. So it's so enjoyable to talk to you. And your honesty, if we're honest with each other, grieving was so difficult for me. I still will cry. And I tell everyone, why do I cry? I cry because it gives a very profound voice to the love I had for my parents, and I miss them. And I think that if we start emoting instead of keeping everything harbored or stuck down deep, we connect with people. We get soothed and we heal better, and we get hope, something to look forward to next time we see that friend. I just think it's so important to reach out. Mm.
And Robin, I really love what, I want to bring it back to the story of the peace of mind guarantee. You used the word philanthropist. And I know sometimes we talk about our goal being, oh, well, I'd like to be a billionaire philanthropist one day. And it's always a wealthy philanthropist, or it's someone who's reached a certain level of success or fame, but that the philanthropist of kind words, we can be, no matter what our circumstance in the world, we can be a philanthropist of kindness, and it doesn't cost anything.
Marie, that was spectacular. And you're amazing because you're right. We only have our time, talents, and treasures. Some of us might have more time. Some might have more talents. Some might have more treasures. But the greatest treasure in the world is to make someone feel treasured. And when we make each other feel treasured for little things, it adds up to big things. And that's why this little book, I was on TV this morning talking about the power of words. They're free, they're fabulous. But if you keep them to yourself, you're monopolizing all the love. So give it away, you know, offer it to someone else. And you're right, that makes you a philanthropist. It makes you the richest person in the world. And I don't use those words lightly, because I understand the need for all the things we need in this world to stay safe and healthy and happy and, you know, out of the rain and have shelter. But someone else might need some loving out loud, and you can do it. You can go and be there for them and give them hope. So you've done such a fine job today. And this hour just like flew with wings. I'm so impressed.
Thank you, Robin. Well, we have been speaking with Robin Spiesman. She's the author of Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. Grab the book. There are so many ideas, whether it's for friendships, gift ideas, raising children. There's tons and tons of topics, hundreds of little ideas and stories, and it's just well worth your time. So Loving Out Loud, The Power of a Kind Word. And do you have a website where people can connect with you, Robin?
I do. RobinSpiesman.com. It's Robin with a Y, SPIZMAN.com. And if you just, you know, Google my name or take a look at my website or just, you know, get the book, read the book, share the book, and look at your own relationships. Focus on how can I share the best of us with the rest of us? How can we do that? And this book will give you some great insights and it will put you on a beautiful path. And I wish everyone the best. And Marie, I can't wait for you to let me know how it goes with your awards. Okay. I just would love to hear back. That's remarkable. You're on something big.
Thanks, Robin. Maybe.
Hey, this has been Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Please go to my website, spiritualshow.com, sign up for the mailing list so that you can stay in the loop with what's going on with the show. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any comments or suggestions. Coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown here with DJ Chris Horrific. Thank you for being with us today. I want to send you so much love.
Namaste.
Namaste.
The Study and Go Abroad Fair is back in town on Sunday, September 29th at the Vancouver Convention Center, East Building. Meet face-to-face with top universities from around the world. Learn about degrees in law, medicine, health sciences, arts, technology, pharmacy, business, hotel management, and much more. Check out the Travel Zone for internships, language travel, and work abroad. For more info, visit www.studyandgoabroad.com. Admission is free.
From September 26th to October 11th is the Vancouver International Film Festival. VIFF presents the world's best cinema fused with related talks and events in a unique Films Plus model. Annually, VIFF presents over 320 films and events, plays host to approximately 400 industry professionals from around the globe, and boasts the largest Canadian film program in the world. Tickets are on sale now. Go to VIFF.org or the Van City Theatre box office to purchase yours today.
Wake up.
Australia and Canada both have wide open spaces and wild sounds that fill them. Join your host, Matt, as he shares brand new tunes and archived classics from the independent music worlds of Australia and Canada on Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Listen Tuesdays from 11 p.m. to midnight.
coming at me. I'm-